Hello, my finest friends. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Here's a joke from my son. What did the bum say to the other bum? That's a bummer. You know, not for everyone. Look, thanks to everyone who's come to see the previews of Can I Have My Ball Back? It's been going really, really well, and I'm really pleased with how the show's turning out. It's officially on tour now from Wednesday. I'll be at the Leicester Square Theatre. A couple of tickets left. Lots of press coming to that one. It'd be lovely to sell out, but there are a few other London gigs not selling as well. So if you're going to come to London, maybe look up those other London gigs. And then this week I'll be in St Albans on Thursday, Gloucester on Friday, Chorley on Saturday, which is sold out, but you can join the waiting list, and Glasgow on Sunday. Two shows. I think the earlier show is sold out. Check with the venue, but the later show has some availability. Come along if you can. If you enjoy these podcasts and like them being free, then the great way to pay me back is to buy a ticket to a show or buy a download or a book from gofasterstripe.com. But you can just keep listening for free as well. That pays me back also. So, you know, no pressure. But I'd love to see you there. If you just know me from the podcast and don't know me as a stand-up, I'm pretty good as a stand-up. It's a good show. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's only made about seven men faint so far. So, you know, are you brave enough to take the challenge? Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy whichever podcast you're listening to now.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is back on the telly. He's been on the telly. It's Richard Herring. Man, you're much better than last week's audience. You literally are. Hello, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was hanging around with Spanky McFarland the other day. Yes, that's right. The character from the 1920s Our Gang that then became the Little Rascals. That's right. I'm surprised that reference didn't get more. He calls it Rehellastopper, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. Yeah, as we're recording this on the 12th of November, I've just been on TV. Did anyone see me on TV this evening? Call yourself Richard Herring fan. I've been on the House of Games. It's very exciting, House of Games. I'm on all this week, up against Rachel Riley, that newsreader lady. She's Katie Durham. She's very clever. And one of the JB from JLS or something, isn't he? He's not clever. He was no. He's not going to win. I'm going to let you know that. He's not going to win. The people at home know who won. People here, all they know is that I came third on episode one. But that's my tactic. slowly catching monkey. So it's very exciting to be back on the telly. I'm enjoying that. And I won't be talking about stone clearing anymore on this podcast. Because I now have a dedicated stone clearing podcast called Stone Clearing with Richard Herring. So do go and check that out. By the time this comes out at home, there should be at least 10 episodes up by the time I've already recorded four. I'll be recording four podcasts today. Three, if you're listening at home, because I've done a stone clearing one, I've done a scummy mummies one, and I've done one this one here, and I'm not doing another one later. I don't know why I said four. So doesn't make sense. So yeah, I'm all talked out, but I'm overexcited, and I've clearly gone mentally
ill. So it's fine, don't worry about that. And I've been mainly looking after the kids this week. I've got, this week I'm recording, the week coming up I'm recording my second series of Relativity, which will be out on Radio 4 in January, I think. But so I've had to make up some time being a father. I'm not asking for plaudits, it's my fucking job. But I've got a three-year-old and a one-year-old, and I don't really like the one-year-old. It's really annoying. I mean, it's just really difficult to look after. He's worked out how to get out of things. So you put him in a high chair and you turn your back and then he suddenly is draped over, about to fall on his head. I mean, he's an idiot. He's going to die. I hope he is dead by the time this goes out. And save us all. Well, I don't want now. I put a bit of effort into him. If he was going to die, he should have died at the beginning. And then now I've invested 13 months in him. I'm going to keep him a fucking life now. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. But I was thinking, people say, oh, I love my children. I don't have a favourite child. I love my... It's bollocks. It's absolute bollocks. Everyone knows. It's like you've got brothers and sisters. You've got a favourite brother or sister. If you've got two, you know that. You don't like one of them as much as the other because they're human beings. Your parents, you prefer one of your parents to the others. You know that's true. Don't fall for this bullshit. I love my daughter loads. I think my son's a dick. So it's... She's definitely my favourite and always will be. And I hope you're listening to this, Ernie. In the future. Oh, I love them both equally. No, you don't. He might, he's got a chance to build up over the years if he improves a bit. Just shits himself all the time. It's ridiculous. So it's... Phoebe never did that. I think we'll crack on. That was an improvised bit of stand-up. Oh, I hope my wife listens to this podcast. She's going to love it. So, it's... My guest tonight is probably best known. I mean, it's difficult to choose between his best-known roles. You know him from Doctor Who Live, The After Party. So, yeah. And you'll also know him from Hollyoaks, in which he played himself, which, given those are the only two things he's done, that is... Must have been confusing for the viewers. Will you please welcome Rick Edwards, ladies and gentlemen? It's Rick Edwards. Welcome, thank you. Come on in. Come on in, sit down.
Yes, not an extensive CV, but a strong one.
Very good. You've done many other things, but those are the two that stuck out for me.
Leap off the page, don't they? They really do.
Doctor Who Live, I don't remember. Was there a live episode of Doctor Who?
No. Was for the... it was for the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And I had a memory of liking Doctor Who when I was a child. And so when they said, do you want to do that? I was like, yeah, sure. And then I had to watch the current episodes. That's good. But I did the show anyway. And the highlight of it was there was a live... It was me and Zoe Ball... And there was a live link-up with LA and two people from One Direction.
Right.
And the delay was about 35 seconds. and they could just hear themselves back. And it was genuinely amazing car crash telly.
Good.
And I wasn't directly involved. It was Zoe handling it. So it was perfect for me.
Good. And was it's the after party. So there was a party and then you were the after party. You were talking about the party when the party had finished. It was just people clearing up.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I don't really remember like the party bit actually. Yeah. So I think I wasn't invited to that.
Okay,
it's very much the aftermath. Yeah.
And I've always wanted to be on Hollyoaks.
It could happen for you still. It really could.
I could be one of the granddads now. I could come and run the pub. I wanted to be like... I think I'm too old now. I think it'd be disgusting. But when I was 40, I wanted to be like an older man who came to Hollyoaks and just slept with all the women in it. Which I think would be fine. When you were 40, that wouldn't be creepy, right? Sleep. All the ones over 16. I'm not sick. 15 maximum. The actresses would be over...
I think
the character's pervy, not me.
Yeah, I think keep the dream alive.
Yeah,
I think you could still do it.
I had that dream, and Dan Tetzel, who I've done a lot of podcasts with, then got on Hollyoaks and basically got that role.
Did he do that?
Well,
how old was he?
He was.
And how old were they?
He dated Carmel. Is it Carmel? Was the one he done it? I don't know. The blonde one he dated, and I think he got off with another one. They have to, haven't they? It's all.
Oh, that's
like,
yeah. That's
it's like being on Strictly Come Dancing. You have to have sex with the dancer.
Yes.
You have to.
You do.
And
you
the dancers do. Have to have sex with you. It's a kind of horrific.
Yeah.
Sort of slavery.
At least they don't televise that.
Yeah.
That really would be. You know.
I'd like to see Sean Walsh up to his plums.
I just actually saw a Sean Walsh poster backstage.
Did you? Yeah.
A tour called Sean to be wild.
Yeah.
And I amazingly found myself liking him even less. I was surprised. Thought I'd reached rock bottom. No, still a bit of space.
What did you do? What was you? You'll be playing yourself on Hollyoaks.
Yeah, I played myself. I think I was trying to buy a Christmas tree, but then hilariously
in Chester.
Yeah,
you went to Chester. You live near Chester?
No. Just I was up there. To, I was up there anyway.
Looking for a Christmas tree.
I was just. But I think actually I was sort of playing myself. But then I wonder if I was. Actually, yeah, if you really start to scrutinise it, it doesn't make sense. But I was there, and I was by a Christmas tree, and then a Christmas tree, I think, wouldn't fit through the door.
Okay.
So there's a bit of, so I was sort of trying to channel Laurel and Hardy, but I don't know if that necessarily landed.
You have a reputation of being a man who'll travel a long distance for a Christmas tree bargain.
Absolutely right.
Anything is said about you.
I think I got the Christmas tree free. That's the sort of the point, isn't it?
Oh, I see, because, yeah. You're a celebrity, so you can.
Yeah.
So I'm drinking...
Travel to Chester, get a...
We've got some new craft beers in. This one's called Daft Monk. That's why I went for that. That's Daft Monk, that looks like fun. Would you like a craft beer?
Is it rude to say no?
It isn't. You're absolutely fine to say no.
Oh, hang on a minute. There's one called Ghanaian Spiced Porter. Crack me open that, please. That? Yeah.
Yeah. It really is called that.
It is,
I thought this one was called Mrs. McCluskey. It's just the writing. It's called Club Mexicana. It's very different than Mrs. But it made me think there is a market for Grange Hill.
Oh, yeah. Crack me open a Zamo. Oh, it's got a big kick to it, isn't it? Still on the docks.
So cheers, beer52.com/Rahulastapa. If you want to get some free beers.
I also don't want to talk about myself too much. Do a podcast, no big deal. Everyone's got a podcast, famously. And we occasionally also plug these beers, but less convincingly than you do it.
Well, I find I find the sponsorship thing weird, but I'm happy to get drunk. What I found is that drinking these beers, they're quite strong, aren't they? What I found is it severely impedes the podcast and makes it terrible. It makes the podcast absolutely terrible.
I mean, I already feel severely impeded. Just a one sip of the Ghanaian spice.
I had maybe a quarter of a bottle in the first one last week. I only did one in the one last week. I'm good at covering up. That's the thing. No one knows that.
Because I guess you've got it for the whole evening, the Leicester Square Theatre, so you could probably fit more in, couldn't you?
Never thought about it. More economical.
It would.
I couldn't say economical then, because I'd had one sip of
absolutely lashed.
So it's a terrible idea. And they've only paid enough to sort of pay for about a third of the filming. I'm not even making any money out of it, but I'm getting some free beer, and that is, I'm going to make the most of that, Rick.
I'm going to be, I think I'm mainly on the water now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, one sip of the Ghanaian spiced and I'm done.
It is really good. That is the best one I've had. A lot of them are really horrible.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, you did go, let me try a little bit of this. This was.
It's just, I think if you like a porter, then maybe that's okay, but...
Yeah, that's a weird choice. No offence to Ghana. And their many spices.
I'm not sure they were involved in it.
So let's talk about your podcast. I was listening to it today. It's a highbrow podcast, I would say.
Oh, well, that's very, it's all relative, Richard.
It is.
It's called, I mean, I'm sure you know this, it's called Science-ish, and we look at sort of big science questions through the prism of popular culture, normally films. So tomorrow we're recording a couple, and we're very open about the fact that we record a couple on the same day, and I think it's very weird when people aren't. And the one that I'm going to be leading on is Fight Club, and we're going to be talking about pain. And specifically, how much pain is too much pain, and the kind of science of pain. And so that's an example of the kind of thing we do.
Well, I was listening to one about Rick and Morty, which was about alternate universes, which I'm interested in. It's an interesting subject.
Yes.
But that's a kind of quite mind-blowing subject. You've got like a proper scientist, Dr. Michael Brooks.
Dr.
Physicist.
Michael Brooks, yes. He's he is absolutely a proper scientist, science writer, PhD in quantum physics. He kind of steers the ship.
Yeah.
And then I occasionally chip in with banal questions.
But you know your stuff as well.
I do. I mean, I know a bit of stuff because I did do a science degree and I do like science, but I'm not a not a science expert.
I mean, how did you do a science degree? Because you look like a sort of model or something. And like, if you look at the front row of this audience, these guys have... I mean, that guy's done a science degree. He's a nuclear physicist. Mm. That's what I imagine someone who is interested in science looks like.
Well,
I mean, did you do an experiment where you put yourself into some kind of mannequin or something that came to life?
Have you ever seen the start of Captain America, the film? Well, it was a slightly... It was an odd experience because I actually started off doing maths. And I did maths at a university where people who really like maths do maths. And the people... I was worried when I went to do it that the people were going to be quite odd. and I hadn't prepared myself really for how odd they were to the extent that I had to... I basically gave up because I didn't have any friends. I didn't know how to... and they looked at me like I was scum. Which in a way I was.
I'm on their side, I have to say.
Yeah. I had an earring, like they just you know, they weren't into that.
No.
And rightly so. And you had to work in groups and they wouldn't let me into their group. So I couldn't do any of my work. It's actually heartbreaking. I was going to ask you,
because you are a very good-looking man, and I know how that can be. You know, I know how...
Yeah. Well, you must have friends who are...
You get judged and people... But is it... Do you think it's... I mean, obviously, in TV, it's a positive thing, and that probably people want to see attractive people on TV, but is it? Do you think it... are there any negative sides to it, do you think?
I mean...
Apart from not being able to hang around with people who like maths.
Apart from not being able to complete my maths degree. No, I don't think so. No. I think it'd be quite an odd thing to bemoan.
Well, do you think people people judge you unfairly and think you aren't going to be, you know, doing a science podcast? And
But I think that's okay. It doesn't really... it's nice to surprise people, isn't it?
It is nice to surprise. I've been very surprised.
Thank you. I was on House of Games. I won.
Yeah.
No pressure, Richard.
We don't know what happens in the next 4 days, do we?
And I wasn't up against JB.
I was up against Rachel Riley, who also did maths.
Yes.
She must have been in a lot of trouble if what you say is true. So, what do you think about Rick and Morty? Do you want to talk about Rick and Morty a bit? I enjoy Rick and Morty an awful lot.
I think Rick and Morty is one of my favourite shows. Are people familiar with Rick and Morty? Feels like that kind of crowd.
They are.
It's wonderful. And also... The science in it is really quite sort of sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're a little bit fast and loose with it, but some very very spicy ideas in there, and I love it. And I kind of I think I'd sort of slightly want to be that Rick.
Yes.
Because he's amazing, has an amazing life, to basically do whatever he likes.
Well, you could be. If the universe is infinite, then you are.
There is one version of me doing that. Yeah. And that's heartening in a way.
See, I think about alternate universes that there won't be another version of you, because there's enough infinity in the history of the planet Earth that only one of you could still spring up, I think.
I think that's a misunderstanding.
No, I don't think
infinity.
It is a misunderstanding. Because every single... No,
well, it is.
It is.
Okay.
Why should... Because, like, if every single thing is possible...
Yeah.
Then there's just... There's, you know, the planet... The human
you just
being,
think too many. There's too
human
much.
Human beings won't turn up most of the infinity planets.
Most?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not quite...
And so when they do... Yeah. You know, the 600 million sperm that were in the race to create Rick Edwards...
Mm. What a race.
Your one will only get through
commission that
every now
BBC
and again.
Three.
So and then and
a retrospective
all the way back. I think, you know, there'll be
talking heads with the ones that didn't make it.
I think there's enough
they're all dead, actually. It's quite sad.
I think there's enough infinity for all the infinities to be different.
There isn't.
There is.
So I mean, it depends, really. If you look at there's various ways that you can arrive at a kind of multiverse situation, and one of them is via quantum theory, and you end up with something called infinite Hilbert space, which isn't really a physical space, but it's somewhere that everything that can happen does happen, and every permutation. And there is no, there's no, because it's infinite, there is no limit to its size. Therefore, there will be other, I mean, effectively, there will be an infinite number of
what if
U's.
There is, what if it gets full?
Yeah. Well, there's actually, I mean, I don't know if you want to do this necessarily, but there's a thing called the Hilbert's Hotel,
yeah,
which is a thing about the sizes of infinities. Yeah. And it's a nice little mathematical proof that if you have your infinitely sized hotel with infinite number of hotel rooms and then it's full, and then another guest arrives, you can actually show quite easily that there's not really a problem and you can accommodate them. So I mean, it's sort of the point of infinity.
Yeah, but I can do an infinite number of things now, like just point my finger in different places.
Yeah, and in so, infinite Hilbert space, yeah, all of those possibilities are playing out.
Not this
and
one.
This is... No, because it's playing out here.
What about if...
I mean, most of the other herrings have probably got a bit more respect for themselves, of course, and aren't doing that.
But what about just like impossible things? So there are things that are impossible that can't happen.
Yes.
So I can suddenly go from here, someone bursts in and go, Rich, you're the Prime Minister now, that's not going to happen.
But that could happen.
No, it can't happen.
Why not?
Because that wouldn't possibly happen in this universe, or so it couldn't possibly happen just suddenly now. There could be a chain of events that led to me being Prime Minister, but they couldn't just come in. Like, King Henry VIII couldn't come in here now and go, I've come back to life.
Oh, no, that is true. No, he can't.
So there's loads of things that couldn't happen. So
yeah,
that means there's more things that couldn't happen that can happen.
But someone could...
Come in and say, Richard, you're now Prime Minister. Then they go, oh no, sorry, I've got no authority.
Can someone just shout it out just as a test?
Great, oh, fuck, fuck this.
There we go. Do I have to kneel before you, anything like that?
Yes, please. Well, let's put that as how you got the gig. So it's. I'm over 50 now, I'm not fussing, it's fine.
I'm only 15, Richard.
That is inappropriate.
Sorry.
But it's a very interesting and intellectual podcast, which I was not expecting from someone who looked like you.
Yeah, so
maybe that says
you've
more
made that
about,
point now. A
maybe
couple
that
of times.
Says maybe that says more about me. No, I'm joking. But let's talk about backgammon, because actually I'm a patron of Scope and you're doing an event for Scope.
Are you going to come and play in the backgammon tournament?
I don't think I am, because I think you're pretty good at backgammon, aren't you? I used to play against my 15-year-old nephew and win money off him.
Oh, that's nice.
He didn't understand how backgammon worked, but I don't think I could play. You play like semi... No, in tournaments.
I'm a very keen backgammon player. I'm not amazing, but I have played in... I did go and play in an international tournament in Copenhagen, which...
Of backgammon, that's where it happened.
Also, nice. I mean, I don't know how many people are in, but one person sort of went, ooh! Which actually is a better reaction than backgammon normally gets. Yeah, I love it. And yes, I am... I think... I'm sort of hosting a backgammon, charity backgammon tournament, and then playing in it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a win-win for me.
It is, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you should play.
I can come down and have a crack.
Come down and have a go.
A couple of years ago, I was a prize at that event that someone got to come and have lunch with me.
Really?
me and my wife, yeah. Did they have to bid on it? They had to bid on it, yeah.
How much did you go for?
I'm not sure. It was quite a nice lunch. I'm not sure they made enough to come. Okay. Unless the lunch was given for free. I mean, I thought it was... I said I'd allow that to happen, but I was dubious. But the people seemed happy to have lunch with me. Maybe they just wanted a lunch.
I'd be very anxious in a scenario like that. Yeah. That people...
What, if you were coming to have lunch with me?
Yeah, very, very anxious. Yeah, thinking, I shouldn't have bid £40 for this. I went in too high.
It is a weird thing to put yourself up like that. But thank you for supporting Scope, who are a fantastic charity you should all support.
Yeah.
But, no, no, but don't much, let it build anymore.
Yeah, but...
There's some people around the back. Rest going, no, don't like disabled people. I'm not applauding that. I'm not applauding that.
But much more popular than backgammon.
It is.
So...
What's the best tactic in backgammon? What's your winning strategy in case I come up against you?
Yeah, do I want to give this away? Mm. No, I will give it away. It's fine. I think you need to be a bit more attacking at the start than you think. Okay. And you really don't mind leaving yourself vulnerable at the start of the game.
Yeah.
And when I first was playing backgammon, I'd always try and keep my pieces safe, particularly towards your home. No need. Absolutely no need.
No. Okay.
Yeah. That's just go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
And do you play that if you roll a double at the start, you double the cube doubles straight away, or do you not play that rule?
Is that a rule?
Well, just you know that there's the doubling dice, isn't it? If you throw a double to start, then it goes to two, and then if you do another, I played with my friend Andrew Mackay. He got 17 quid off me because he won. I won all the games, but he won the one that it was 18 because we'd thrown doubles.
That no, but I like that.
Yeah,
should do that.
Yeah, try that.
I will do that. Thank you very much, Richard.
Good. let's have a look. What else? You got married in Kew Gardens. That's exciting.
Yeah, I did get married in Kew Gardens.
Did you rent out the whole of Kew Gardens for your wedding, or was there people looking around Kew Gardens while you were getting married?
There was a sort of half-hour crossover,
right.
which was not perfect,
yeah.
When there were a lot of people milling around whilst our guests were arriving.
Right. And then the whole thing was yours, like in the evening, was it?
Yeah, so from sort of like five, but it just shut. So, you know.
I know, but fuck, Kew Garden, do anything you want.
Yeah.
Well, have a wank in the cactuses.
Bought all of my... We got
example.
We rented
dangerous.
A Kew Explorer.
Yeah.
The little train that goes around.
Yeah.
And immediately after the ceremony, so there's a couple of them and all of the guests piled on.
Brilliant.
And with their drinks, and they had a nice tour around Kew Gardens.
That is good.
And I think there was some quite poor behaviour. people, you know, just like people a bit drunk and a bit excited and kind of like pulling off rhododendrons.
Oh, really?
And then the Kew Gardens employees saying, well, obviously don't do that.
Did you get billed really for the vandalism?
We certainly got billed, I'll tell you that. I couldn't even bear to look at the itemising.
I would just go and play in that. You know, there's that kids bit. Well, you won't know because you haven't got kids, but there's a kids bit.
Oh, I know it.
And there's a pool just full of little orange beads you can jump into.
Full of orange.
It's like
beads.
A sandpit, but it's got little orange beads in it.
Like a miniaturised ball pool.
Yeah, but it's they're more like bits of plastic, but it's like a sandpit, but made out of plastic.
And do I sink into it, or am I?
Well, it's always full of children, so I reckon if you just
could
had that
you
yourself,
sink in it?
I think if there were no kids in there and it was full. I did a thing in it, but as it occurs to me about it, because all the beads come out because the kids chuck them out, and then there's a man whose job is to brush them all back in again.
At least he's got a brush. He's not like doing it one by one. But who would do something that stupid?
He is the most grumpy looking. He's the most grumpy looking man in the world.
A field full of tiny orange balls.
It's exciting. You've piqued my interest in it now. I'm going to ask someone cackled then. good to have the witches in. Just have to actual cackle. Right, I'm going to try and find one I haven't asked before.
Do you like your laugh?
My laugh? No, I don't really like my voice or my laugh. I wouldn't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, it's tough. I think your own laugh is not yours specifically,
yeah, no,
but just one's own laugh.
Well, you don't.
I'm not directing that at the cackler.
Yeah,
but
that hurt. That,
but
I mean,
obviously, have a think about it.
I'm going to ask you. This is an interesting question from the first line. It's a long one.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to have the head of another human being grafted onto your shoulders in order to save space and resources, whose head would you be okay with having placed next to yours? Would it be better or worse if it was your partner's? How much money would you have to be paid to go along with the arrangement? What if it was your head that was going to be put on someone else's body? Have a good think about it. It wouldn't all be bad.
Yeah, how long do I get to think about it?
as long as it takes.
So, well, when you started the question, I thought it was that my head was getting lopped off and then replaced with another head.
No, it's another head added onto your shoulder, like Zaphod Beeblebrox, I guess I'm thinking of.
Yeah, sure.
Because but it's not your head. It's not a clone of you. It's a different person's head.
Yeah, it's a different head. I think I'm immediately ruling out my wife, and not in a bad way, but I think that sort of you can't really kiss. You can't do any of the fun stuff.
Well, you can't have sex because...
She hasn't got a body anymore. Yeah. I think I much prefer... I'm a traditionalist. I prefer my wife having a body.
Okay.
So she's out. Like realistically, I might have Dr. Michael Brooks grafted on here. For great brain on him. Also, we spend a lot of time together because of the podcast. And I think it would just be quite convenient. He, I think, would consider it to be... He won't mind me saying this. He's out of shape. And he would consider it to be an upgrade. Yeah. I think everyone would be a winner.
Yeah,
it's an upgrade for him.
Would you give him control of one of the arms, one half of the body?
That's up for negotiation, isn't it, really? I think I'd want to... Yeah, you can have one hand, maybe. Yeah. You don't give him too much, do you?
Well, wouldn't you, but then he could touch you and stuff, though.
Yeah, but it would feel like someone else was doing it. But also, Brooksy, which is not so great. Yeah, I'd know who it was. There's some really horrible stuff that people have done in the past. I mean, you know that. That's just a general thing. So really awful. Yeah, really delve into history. Yeah. Bloody horrible. But people are quite interested in head transplants, and they still are. And head transplants, of course, should be called body transplants because, I mean, it's Matt, but whatever, that's just a personal bugbear. Because you don't wake up and think, oh, I've got a new head.
No, it's true.
Obviously, that's insane. There was some Russian
scientists. I'm glad we got that out there. A lot of people are not ready to accept that.
Well, it's true, though.
You are correct.
This Russian scientist, a group of scientists, were grafting dogs' heads onto other dogs' bodies, and they were able to make them survive. Yeah. And so you've just got two heads of exactly the situation you're talking about, and the dogs will independently feed. And you can have a look on YouTube at some of the footage, and it's... Well, like I say, it's absolutely horrible, but relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be that kind of thing, wouldn't it?
So, bad or good? Were the dogs happy with it?
I wouldn't. I don't... You could see a sort of sadness in a dog's eyes, I think.
Yeah.
Must be a bit weird. Didn't have massive longevity either.
No. What about your head being put on someone else's body?
I don't like that.
Okay.
Very much at all, actually.
No.
Would you take it?
I'd take your head on my bottom. No.
No? What about just for a bit?
No, you've got a really big head. It would be difficult.
I've got a big head.
It would be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I've already hurt my arm anyway, so, you know.
What about the other shoulder? I'm not an animal.
Why have I hurt that arm? It's a good question, wasn't it?
It was a good question.
What is the most surprising thing you've ever found in a tumble dryer?
You know what? I mean, maybe I haven't really lived, but the most surprising thing I've ever found is just, and it's not that surprising, it's just like the fragments of tissue.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes my mum would, I don't know if they do these anymore, like the those kind of tumble dryer sheets. And sometimes they would end up sort of lodged in your trousers and so you'd be wearing them for a day without realising.
See? But suddenly you thought the question had no answer and then you pulled that out of the bag.
Is it surprising? I don't know.
It would be surprising because my mum didn't put those in the tumble dryer. We didn't have a tumble dryer, so I'd have been...
Yeah.
You would miss
amazed that you were allowed to look in someone else's tumble dryer.
I'd be amazed that they found something unexpected in the tumble dryer we didn't
loads
have.
Loads of other people's clothes.
I found my cat Smithers in ours doing a wee.
Really?
Yeah. He used to get in there and do wees because it was just like a little enclosed... He didn't really understand. Yeah. It was a bit like a litter tray, isn't it?
Yeah.
A very expensive
litter.
Litter
in the bottom of it?
No. It was quite annoying because then you've got cat wee in your tumble dryer, which is probably the last thing you want in there. Maybe not the last thing.
No, I'll tell you what you want. You want to get some of those little sheets and that'll take the edge off.
Don't know if it can cope with those. I'll do one more and then we'll do, let's go classic, which is probably in the first 100. I'll ask you this because you're a man of science. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Well, sort of yes and no, in that when I was how old was I when Ghostbusters came out. Ghostbusters came out in 1984, 85?
Yeah, I'd say 84.
Something like that. I think I saw it on video a couple of... So I was maybe 7 or 8, and I just watched it, and the opening scene with the library ghost had obviously scarred me horrendously, because it is genuinely scary. You're familiar with the ghost I'm talking about?
I am very familiar.
And I was at my... Nan's, and so we're going up the stairs in the block of flats, and I would always run up to the, because she was at the top, I'd run up to the top to get to the door first, and I got up there and was absolutely convinced that I saw that ghost and ran down back down again screaming. But much as it felt like I had, looking back I can see why I thought that. Yeah. It's because I'd just seen the film.
Yeah.
So
and the actor who played that role lived in that block of flats.
Yeah, it was
just
my,
coming and putting a milk.
I should have said, sorry, it was my nan. So yeah, quite a funny prank for her.
I've seen three ghosts since I've moved. I've got a ghost in my house. It's a crying baby.
Yeah. Okay.
When I go into the kids' rooms, they're all asleep and the baby's been crying. It's spooky. And when I take the dog for a walk at night, you see loads of ghosts out in the countryside. And then you work out what they are. One of them was a horse.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's sort of coming at you and you think it's a person in the dark, and then it comes to you and then you go, oh, fuck, it's a horse.
A ghost of a horse?
No, I think it was a real horse.
Oh, just a horse. Okay, fine.
Which is, in a way, worse than a ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a horse can trample you to death.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a ghost does not exist.
Ghosts will just sort of slime you, won't it?
And then, it's true. God, in Ghostbusters, you seem to think that's the main source of ghosts.
Well, so, is it not?
No. And I was walking the dog the other day, and we came through a farm bit, and a light goes on as you go through the farm, otherwise it's dark.
Yeah.
And then it flashed, and I saw a milkmaid, an old-fashioned milkmaid standing near the farm. But then it was just a sign with a piece of paper on it that I'd misinterpreted. And then I went a bit further, and there was like a black wraith-like figure moving around. I could see it moving, and then it sort of started sweeping in towards me. It was terrifying. Then I realized it was just my shadow from the light behind. That's where I was moving, so it was moving.
Yeah.
Like, I think ghosts are just people misinterpreting stuff they don't understand, and they're a bit scared.
I think you might be right.
I think in all those three examples, I think we've hit on something
there.
You've
sort of proven it, haven't you?
Yeah, it's good. So, T4...
Yeah.
This is your first...
Elephant in the room. A lot of fans in.
I used to love T4.
I mean, very good job.
Yeah.
It's a great job.
And you got to travel the world, meet lots of stars.
Yes.
Interview people.
Yes.
Amazing.
All of that.
And how did you get into it? Was that your first big job, or was there...
Yeah, pretty much. So I did a sort of graduate trainee scheme at a production company because when I left university, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life at all. And so I did some tutoring. And so I was teaching maths and science to kids who weren't very good at it. And generally speaking, kids whose parents were very wealthy, because that's why tutoring is quite bad in some senses. But they obviously feel guilty that the school fees are already paying aren't quite enough, and so they pay a goon like me to come and do a bit more. And I ended up purely randomly, obviously, tutoring Ruby Wax's kids.
Wow.
One of whom was called Max. But annoyingly, took the dad's name by, so Max by, which I always thought, come on, mate.
But then
it's an open goal.
At least when he's dead, it'll be Max by his grave.
Ooh.
So at least we'll get something out of it, right?
Yeah.
Max by grave, you still know he's a singer in the old days. So he was a singer in the old days.
Don't mind me, I'm just going to down my Ghanaian spice after that.
He was a singer in the old days, Max by Graves.
No, you're right. And weirdly, that never occurred to me at the time.
That'd have been the first thing I'd have said to him.
So anyway, I'd occasionally chat to Ruby Wax at her kitchen table after I'd taught Max by Graves. And she just sort of said, what are you doing with your life? I said, I've got no idea. She said, what do you want to do with your life? I said, maybe telly or something. And she said, have you applied for any graduate trainee schemes? And I said, no, I didn't know they existed. She said, I do, you should apply for this one. And so I applied and did that.
It's not a ringing endorsement of your tutoring skills, is it?
No, I had...
What would you rather almost be doing than this? Because I think I've got a good job for you if you could leave my son alone.
Yeah, I had almost sort of zero initiative as well. I don't know why I hadn't looked anything up. Yeah. So I did that, and then... The production company that I was working for as a sort of, I mean, effectively like a junior researcher, had not booked anyone to do warm-up for a studio show.
Right.
And they knew that I had done or did a bit of stand-up, and they said, okay, you're going to do that then.
Right.
And so I did that. And it's quite hard, actually, warm-up.
Yeah,
because you have to do sort of 45 minutes of sort of, like, nothing, really. Like, they don't want to hear jokes particularly. They want to just sort of play games and have a chat.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, I quite enjoyed it, and the production company thought that I was okay at it, and then they sort of got me to screen test for some stuff, and, right. and so I started doing things off the back of that.
Just blind chance.
Yes, blind chance, yeah. And I've just been sort of clinging on ever since.
So what was your period of T4? Who were you pitted against?
So my, well, pitted with? I was pitted with, Steve Jones, Makita Oliver, Alexa Chung, and then latterly, Jamila Jamil, Nick Grimshaw. I think that's everyone.
I once sat next to Nick Grimshaw at Wagamama's.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was he ordering?
I can't remember what he had, but he bought a lampshade in Habitat.
Oh, yeah.
And he left it behind.
Oh, and I thought, guess where it is.
very nearly, we were going to go, should we give it in or should we take it? Then Nick Grimshaw, about 20 minutes later, came back and realised he'd left his lampshade behind. Oh. By Nick, old Grimmy, eh?
What might have been.
a nice lampshade.
I have the kind of level of, I don't even know how to call it, fame, really. Like, people really do not know who I am, but they are vaguely sort of familiar with my face, but not enough to be able to identify me clearly. And so when people do, like, half recognise me, they'll often just insist that I am Nick Grimshaw or Greg James, or my favourite, Rick James, a sort of clever amalgamation and ending up at someone who I'm definitely not. But really, and also I don't look like any of those people. And yet we are sort of just vaguely in the same area, so you kind of
No, it happens. When I was Googling you, twice actually accidentally Googled Rick Adams.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is who was the presenter on The Big Breakfast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Years ago.
It can happen.
Yeah. Me and Stu stole Rick Adams. I've still got it. His nameplate when we were on Big Breakfast. We stole his nameplate off the door.
It's a hell of a souvenir.
We reasoned it was coming down soon enough anyway, and we were right.
Yeah.
it was a bit loose, to be fair. And I've still got it somewhere.
Do you know what? Did he do anything particularly after that?
I think he still is working, but as a DJ, online DJ, I think.
I suspect he'd really like to have that nameplate as a reminder of his time on that show.
Yeah.
So you've done a bad thing there.
It's not.
You really have.
It was definitely a bad thing to do. I'm not defending myself.
But you're also not handing it in, are you?
No, I'm not giving it back. Oh, it's in a box somewhere. I'm not going to look.
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, look, today, and I can't believe I haven't seen this before, this shows how much my life has changed, because I used to just watch daytime quizzes all day long when I didn't have any responsibilities in my life. When I was free and single, I mainly watched daytime quizzes.
That's before your life was ruined.
That's what you do, right? Yeah. Before my wife came along and gave me stuff to care about. And I watched Impossible. Well, it's not called Impossible. It's upside down, exclamation mark, Impossible.
Which means that it's impossible to find on the EPG or on the iPlayer. And yet, we're still sticking with it. Great, great plan.
It's good.
It hard to find.
It is good.
Make it cult.
It's a great. How many series have you done?
This is the fifth.
Yeah.
This is the fifth one. We're doing the sixth in January. It's rolling on.
I like it. I don't think it should be on daytime TV. I know the celebrity version is on at nighttime TV.
Yes,
but I think it's too good for daytime TV.
Thank you.
I say that
very much
with the deepest respect for Tipping Point. You're no Ben Shepherd. I don't think you could.
Ben Shepherd also started on T4.
You were called upon to watch a big coin machine go back and forth day after day and make that interesting, I don't think you could do it. And that's why Ben Shepherd has my respect.
I know some people who work on that show, and they say he is a real... He's quite something to watch at work. Because he's recording four of those episodes a day, and he just gets into his zone, and he makes it...
He does make it. And he also has the audacity to continually ask, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. To a random thing.
Yeah.
And that is why you will never be Ben Shepherd, so stop trying. Just be happy with who you are.
I think I'd ask it, I don't know, 10 or 15 times, and then I'd be done. You don't know.
You do not know. You'll just have to make do with having a better actual quiz than him.
Yeah, which I'm happy to have.
Okay, that's fine.
But then, part of the... If you think about what Noel Edmonds... who is he? Do we like him anymore? I suppose we don't really like him anymore, do we?
No, I think when he had that cancer machine,
for me, I thought, come on, Noel.
And then getting in touch with someone who's on Twitter. I think it was Vaughan, who I know on Twitter, who has cancer... and telling him, they had an argument about whether this was a good thing, and he was telling a cancer sufferer what he should be doing.
Yeah,
that was the moment I think Noel Edmonds.
It's fiddly at best, isn't it, from Noel?
And the moment Noel Edmonds decided to dye his beard jet black.
I've got no problem with that. But he on Deal or No Deal.
Yeah,
the whole thing is nonsense, isn't it? Like you don't need to ask any of the questions he asks. There is no drama. There's a very simple bit of maths that tells you whether you should or shouldn't accept what's being offered.
Yeah.
But he managed to generate a lot of interest and intrigue.
Yeah, I didn't like the way that he told people they'd lost if they didn't get as much as what was in the final box.
That's
crazy, because like if you're offered £32,000 at some point and you go, I have to take that offer. You can't then go, it was 1p or £125,000. You should have stayed in. That's ridiculous. So I wanted to do a late night version of Deal No Deal, which was just like poker commentary over the top of it, with just a mathematician going, no, that number hasn't actually come up any more often than any of the others. et cetera. But they wouldn't let me. They wouldn't let me do it because it was theirs.
Yet.
But it's a great idea, I think. So it's a quiz, it's a multiple choice thing.
Yes.
Which, see, again, on Egghead, I hate Eggheads. They give you a multiple choice, and it means the eggheads can guess which one it's going to be. But in this one, it sort of flips it. So there's one question, one answer is definitely wrong or impossible.
Yes.
But we had a little debate about that backstage that some people say it's not impossible. If there's infinite universes, there's a universe where the answer is possible.
Yeah, I mean, then it gets very confusing. I'm glad that we're only doing it in this universe, as far as I'm aware.
Well, you're very wrong about that.
I am wrong about that. I know. I'm doing it all over the show.
I'm fucking presenting it in one. You are. Only one universe.
You are.
Let me do it.
You are. And there's someone was saying to me that it would be, and I think they're sort of right. It would be better, harder to again put on the EPG and the listings. But if it was called fucking stupid, in that one of the answers, if you go for that, you are fucking stupid. Yeah. That's the gist of the quiz. It's a good catchphrase to have. It's a good show. Are you fucking stupid? Let's find out. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
And so no one won the jackpot on the one I've seen. I've only seen one episode. I'm going to become a regular fan. I'm going to watch it. If they win, all those pound coins
come out. All the pound coins come out. And it's fair. I mean, it's so... Awesome. it's so sort of end of the pier, but in a good way.
But it's like £10,000.
£10,000 just flooding out of this huge exclamation mark.
And then do you make them take it home in pound coins? Because I think you should.
Yeah, we give them the little plastic bags from banks and say, go on then, you earned it. But we had a, I think, was it last week, maybe, where four consecutive people won the £10,000.
Oh, really?
And obviously from a sort of from a show point of view, it's great. And from an audience point of view, the audience really like that. And from the point of view of the people who make it, it's an absolute disaster because they have a... You get given, allocated a budget by the BBC, and they think, we think this will cover how much prize money will go. And if that isn't the case, then the production company just have to pay.
Yeah.
It's pretty harsh.
What about the bloke who has to put all the pounds back in the machine?
Well, genuinely, there is a guy called Webbo, and Webbo goes up onto the top of a massive ladder, and then he just feeds the pound coins back in. And there's a huge reset. It makes the day much slower. I hate it. I'm like, oh, they've won. Oh, no. I've got to give you a hug, but I'm fuming.
I'd say just get rid of the thing. Just give them the check. They'll be happy.
Yeah, but then that's the thing that sells the show.
It's not. It's a classy quiz. You don't need a fruit machine at the end of it.
Okay, we're going to get rid of it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. And then actually, the real boon of that is if we don't have the massive exclamation mark, we can finally call it impossible. Yeah. I think we'll be able to find it. Yeah, good, good. Okay, it's gone.
Why don't we do one based on like one of those grab machines in the fair?
They've been they've been pitched, apparently.
Have they?
Yeah. Of course they have.
Why don't we do one based? There's everything in it. Why don't we do one based on the horses racing around? It's probably been done, isn't it?
Yeah. There's one at the moment, I think, which is based on it can't be based on Sega Rally. I want to say it's based on Sega Rally, but that can't be right. Like driving around, so there's a sort of car race,
right,
while you're being quizzed.
Okay.
I think that's in production. I quite like the sound of it.
Yeah.
Maybe dangerous, but, you know.
Why don't you do one based on Bailey's Comets, the cartoon from that was out before you were born that you won't remember? One will remember. Bailey's Comets was good, wasn't it? Who remembers Bailey's Comets? I might have found my one person remembering something that I remember. It was about... I'll sing you the theme tune.
Oh, you don't have to.
No, I'll get it. See if I can remember it.
Okay.
All I can remember is everyone's out to find the next big clue that's going to read into the $1 million prize. Bailey's Comets, Bailey's Comets, Bailey's Comets. Bye-bye.
Immediately, my issue with it is that we'd have to change the words because you can't have $1 million prize. That's no good.
They were skating round and then... they were trying to get $1 million prize.
Right.
They never, because they cancelled it before we found out who won.
So hang on.
It's a bit like Wacky Rices, but on...
was it live action?
No, it's cartoons.
Right.
People roller skating around.
Right.
No one remember that? This is why Peter Kay does all right in it, and this is why I'm not...
Yeah, because...
Why can't anyone remember his comments? It was really good. I used to eat minstrels while I was watching it.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, got it.
No minstrels.
Yeah.
Sometimes aniseed balls, remember them, mate? Yeah.
Do more stuff.
Bailey's Comets, do you remember Bailey's Comets, though?
No.
Who remembers Bailey's Comets? Who remembers Bailey's Comets? We're not going on until everyone has remembered it. Do you remember it, David, Bailey's Comets? Everyone's out to... Sorry, over there. Everyone's out to buy the next week, please. There. It's like Wacky Races. Remember Wacky Races, David? Yeah. Obviously, I remember Wacky
Races. Quite so. Bullying section of the show. This isn't it. Yeah. I don't mind it.
It's this dark monk. Do you have any catchphrase that you use quite a lot in your life that came from something? But you, I use a catchphrase all the time from an advert. I can't remember what the advert was for.
Oh, Chicken Tonight. You always say it's time for Chicken Tonight. Chicken Tonight.
Yeah, and I don't know what advert that was for.
Yeah, it was for Chicken Tonight.
I always do.
And same.
When I get into a car, I say, let's get this road on the show. Do you remember what advert that was?
No.
Before your time, I think. Do you remember that one, David? Who remembers the advert?
It was just before Bailey's Comets. Yeah.
Let's get the road on the show. It was set in a helicopter, traffic helicopter. So the joke was, let's get this road on the show. Because they were traffic helicopters.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it was an advert for helicopters. I don't think it was an advert
they,
for
they don't really get
travel
advertised,
shows.
Do they?
They don't generally, do they?
No, they sell themselves.
Anyway, if anyone knows, let's get this road on the show. Don't tell me, because I'd like the mystery. Getting quite angry
let's
with the audience. Let's get this
road on the show.
I know, get in the cargo. Let's get this road on the show.
What kind of response do you get from it?
Nothing. I'd maybe just say it to myself.
Yeah,
it's when I'm in the car on my own. Let's get this road on the show. This is me that I'm driving.
I guess I'd say let's...
This is how I drive.
Let's get ready to rumble, maybe? Do I say that?
Everyone remembers that.
That's not an advert.
I know, but everyone remembers where that comes from. But chicken tonight, sorry, and let's get ready to rumble. Everyone remembers that.
No one remembers. You've got a niche one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like to think of observational nostalgia comedy that only me and one other person gets.
Mm.
And the one person is not in the audience tonight. Sport that
whereas
unique.
Yeah, Peter Kay's thing is your aunt dances funny at weddings.
Yeah,
and people get that, don't they?
Who remembers 9/11?
Ah,
everyone.
Yeah,
that's how Peter Kay works.
So I had a.
Remember Brexit? Remember when we all voted for Brexit? Remember how it all went fucked up and went wrong? This is people in 3 years' time listening to this podcast.
Oh,
remember how it all went shit? And you got one. What is it? Yeah, everyone remembers fried onion rings. That was the chips. Hope is chips. It's chips. McCain's oven chips, that was.
Hang on. She's still going. Let her finish.
It was also fried onion rings. That's how it went. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that was right. That is the correct way of doing it.
When I was doing stand-up many, many years ago, and I had a, misjudged joke. Which I think I only did once. And is it? I'll say it, and then we'll chat backstage about whether this will go onto a podcast.
Okay.
But I said, and I'm only bringing this up because you said, "Who remembers 9/11?" And I said, I can't remember the exact wording of it. It's like the lights off. Of course, 9/11, really, really, one of the forgotten victims were Porsche. Which I think was
I get it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But went worse even than that.
Yeah.
Never did it again.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
But you see, it's sort of like there's something in it. I still think there's something in it.
My fans wouldn't know what that was that you're talking about. That's the thing. These guys would. It's what? Brilliant. It's a good joke. That bloke.
Well, you could have laughed at him, mate.
That guy's trying to make out he has a Porsche. That's right. Yeah, I get it. It's great. I've got a Porsche, everyone. I've got a Porsche. What kind of stand-up were you? How long did you do stand-up for?
I did it when I was at university for a bit, and then I did it for a little while on the London circuit, and I was fine.
Yeah.
I was fine. I wasn't. I was.
What year? What year was this? When were you in London?
2002, 2003.
Okay, because I came back to doing stand-up in about 2004, so I missed you.
Yeah, you weren't missing much, actually. I did do one thing that I think was quite good. I did a double act with, do you know Joe Wilkinson?
I do, yeah.
So we were doing stand-up at the same time, and we liked each other's shtick. And so we did a double act called Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
And that was quite fun.
Yeah, cool.
That was about the highlight. But also, I effectively stopped because I was friends with him, and he was better than me, and I was friends with Diane Morgan,
yes,
who was also better than me, and I thought, well, let's try and find something that...
Why don't we let them be a double act? Why don't them be a double act?
And that's exactly what happened.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, two episodes of MASH.
Yeah.
Great double act.
Very good show, very good show. Could have been you in there. Could have been two episodes of
MASH.
No,
unfortunately not. No. That never looked like it was on the cards.
So who was the toughest interview you had on T4? Did you?
Well, there was. Sometimes you just misjudge things. I mean, you know all about that. Of course, yeah. And so I misjudge. I think this is still think excellent question. I asked Jake Gyllenhaal quite early on in an interview, and that was the mistake. He did really save it to the end, just in case. I said, here's a conundrum for you, Jake. I'm going to cast you in an amazing film, the role that you were born to play. It's going to be the peak of your career, the thing you're going to get lauded for. You're going to win the Best Actor Oscar. Like, this really is the absolute pinnacle. It's the role that you were born to play. The only catch is I've already cast your sister Maggie as the love interest. Do you take the role? I think that's a good question. He did not think it was a good question. He hated it. And then I had to do another 10 minutes of just a man who was fuming.
Imagine I'm doing now with someone like that. Yeah.
So that was not good. But I think my wife is an actress, and I don't like it when she has to kiss people for her work, which I think is perfectly reasonable. But actors always say it's just a mechanical thing, it doesn't mean anything, which is sort of my point to Gyllenhaal. If it is just a mechanical thing, it doesn't mean anything, snog your sister, mate. Like, if it doesn't mean, if you're just acting, start whinging. He didn't see it like that. At all.
And is this true? This is why I wanted to start with this and make this the whole interview, if it's true. It's on your Wikipedia page.
Okay.
Do you have no sense of smell? Is that true?
No, I have a very, very poor sense of smell.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not as exciting as having no sense of smell.
I kind of had to modify this. I think I used to say I had no sense of smell, and then I met people who have anosmia.
Yeah.
Which is actually having no sense of smell, and it's quite sort of a debilitating condition, or it can be. And I don't have that. Okay. I'm just not going around saying, yeah, that's me. I sniffed pure ammonia when I was about 14, and it really sort of damaged the cells inside.
Why did you do that?
An idiot, firstly. And secondly, I wasn't listening in the science lesson. They were talking about ammonium smelling salts, and I had a cold, and I thought, oh great, and grabbed the lab ammonia and just went, and it was really extraordinary pain. It's absolutely extraordinary.
And
very hard with interestingly, this is unlikely to happen, but if someone were to say to you, would you rather have the strongest alkali or the strongest acid poured on your hand or wherever, go acid, because you can wash acid off quite easily with water, and alkali less so.
Especially if it's up your nose.
And if it's up your nose, really, really tough.
Yeah.
But that's all I was doing. I just kind of sluice water up it. And
did it
didn't really
cure your cold? Was your cold better afterwards?
I've got to say, the cold gave me no concern. And it certainly did something.
Well, it's a shock. I thought you had no sense of smell, so I've been farting all through the interview, and I'd like to apologise.
Do you know what? I wouldn't have noticed.
Right.
Because it's not good.
Okay.
I don't get ambient
odour. You'd have noticed mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fancy yourself, dude. I think you're packing some heat down there.
Why don't we... what about a game show where people try and make you smell their farts? Yeah. By creating the worst farts they can. And if you can smell them, then they win a prize.
Yeah, and it's like...
they win like
a distance thing. So I gradually approach. And the earlier it hits me, the more impressive. Yeah. Money you win.
Can you taste...
Well, it's worth pitching, isn't it?
It is. I'll give it a go. Can you taste things?
Of course I can fucking taste.
What?
People always ask that. I didn't have my tongue cut out.
Can you feel love still?
No, but that's unrelated.
Which I thought to taste a lot of taste from smell.
Well, people tell me that, but I mean, I can tell you that I can taste stuff.
Well, you know, maybe you think you can, but things taste well, nice.
I mean, effectively, we all think we can. That's all that's happening. You know I can taste. I was repulsed by the garnet and spice.
That's what makes me suspect the whole smell thing is made up for attention. Just to get a bit of an interest on Wikipedia.
I mean, people do love that. Really. You get to see regular visitors just checking that fact out.
Are you glad, in hindsight, that because it gives you...
Well, it's a tale to done tell. Sort of 3 or 4 minutes here, isn't it?
Yeah, I am pleased.
Yeah.
What did your mum and dad say when you came home and said, I've lost my sense of smell due to sniffing ammonia?
Well, just sort of nonplussed, really. Just like, well, why? Why have you done that? I think generally my parents were sort of nonplussed.
Really? Because my fear with, you know, when you've got kids, you suddenly think, God, if I fuck something up, that's, you know, for life. You know, my daughter keeps poking herself in the eye, and you go, your eyes can't be repaired if you break your eyes. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
You know, my son has testicles.
Is that how you deliver the information to
him? Stop being such a fucking idiot. Yeah. Tell him. You just think, if I accidentally tread on my son's testicles,
yeah,
then
how? So, just out of interest, yeah. How low hanging?
They drape back and he's crawling along.
Oh, that's
They're
nice.
They're draping a long way back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he's getting married. And it's the train. And it just happens to be his scrotum.
So do you think by turning 13 or 14, parents just go, oh, well, he's just his sense of smell?
Yeah, they're just like, well, it's not the worst. I mean, let's be honest. If you had to lose a sense,
smell's
the one that's going first, isn't it?
I think so. If I'm still allowed to taste things, which apparently I am.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I don't believe that for a second.
It's absolutely
Have
true.
Have you got brothers and sisters?
No.
No.
No. Only child. Oh. Hence, sort of attention-seeking narcissist.
You can be sure.
Hence, TV presenter.
Yeah. You can be sure your parents love you the best. That's the nice thing about being the only child.
Yeah. Absolutely no competition.
Yeah, that's good.
What have you got?
I've got brother and a sister.
And where do you fit in the ranking?
I reckon I come second.
Yeah? Who's top?
My sister, I think. Everyone loves my sister.
Yeah.
And no offence to my brother, but come on.
Yeah. What's he do with himself?
He's a teaching assistant. He's very, 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 like, super intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, too intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, be, you know, he needs to come back in 500 years' time and then people will be on a level.
Respect him.
Yeah. They respect him now. He's a very, he was a great brother, apart from when he beat me up and stuff.
Yeah. Also, when you say he was a great brother, sort of sounds bleaker than that.
Oh, he still is. He still is a good brother as well. Okay. But you know, like we don't hang out with each other so much now. Like when you're at home, you won't know what this is like because you're a sad only child.
Yeah, lonely. Yeah.
But my
brothers, no friends when I did math. No brothers and sisters.
Well, look at you now. Break, isn't it? Look at you now.
Here we are.
You're on this. You've been on T4.
Yeah.
With the more off the good place.
Yes.
Pretty good. You met Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep.
And offended him.
Yep.
It's pretty good. Things have actually worked out.
Yeah.
It's a sweet life. On your Twitter profile, it says you trick or treated at Mariah's house. Is that true?
No. I have been to Mariah Carey's house, weirdly, for work. And then I saw that everyone was changing their Twitter names for Halloween.
Okay.
So I just,
You changed your name to that?
Yeah, yeah. Mariah Carey, this is a slightly sad anecdote,
I suppose. It's all right, we're at the point.
We've earned it, haven't we?
Yeah.
So when I did this thing where I spent sort of 48 hours with Mariah Carey for a TV show, and... she had lots of, as you'd expect, she was very nice, but she had lots of foibles, including, my favourite really was she was very tired most of the time. And at one point we were in her hotel room. We arrived at her hotel room to do a bit of the interview, and she was asleep in bed with her husband, which is quite an awkward situation to walk in on. You're going to go, oh, well, we'll leave it for a bit. And then they got her up and got him out, and we sat down, sort of similar setup to this, both on the same sofa. I had to do maybe 10 seconds of explain to the camera where I am, so just saying, so now I'm in Mariah Carey's hotel room, just about to have a chat about blah 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 blah. So Mariah, and when I looked back over, she was asleep. she had fallen asleep in 10 seconds. But the real rub was that she's surrounded by these people who her entourage, and no one would ever say anything to upset her, and so they wouldn't let us wake her up. They just said, no, shh, she'll be up in a minute. She'll be up in a minute. So I just sat on a sofa with Mariah Carey while she had a power nap for about 5 minutes. Right. And then she sort of came back to and was like, right, where are we? I was like, well, you just fallen asleep in a minute. and then we carried on. But the thing I was going to say, that's not sad. The sad thing is that she has a good side, but it's such a... It's so sort of hardwired in her now that she can't, like, she if a camera is on the wrong side, she just can't, she can't hack it
right
at all. And the reason is that Tommy Mottola, who was the horrible man that she married when she was quite young, the record label boss, I think said that she looked too ethnic from the other side. which is really, I mean, it's horrific and also obviously not true because she's basically symmetrical. But whatever, like everyone. And but it had obviously really like scarred her. And so we at one point we got into the back of her limousine and there was a sort of sort of like this and then camera here and she got in on the wrong side. But no one wanted to say anything. And so we spent the whole interview. So if you're me, I'm talking like this out of the window. And at no point broke it, apart from occasionally, because she was a human, she would come round and then just snap back like that.
Wow.
And it was sort of heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Quite funny. But also...
But it's weird the way celebrities like, you know, like you see these ultra-famous people and they kind of get trapped in different ways, I think. It's sort of, and you're trapped by your fame either to behave in a certain way like that, or you know, or to be worried about. Sometimes I get like big name people on here, and then come off and go, oh, I'm worried about this and this and this and this and this, and what they've said on the podcast, and they're worried. You know, they're thinking about the brand and all those sort of things, and it's sort of weird. You become so successful that actually you lose yourself a little bit within. I mean, you know, you and I are still fine.
We're fine, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think I'm still trying to develop a brand. No, I haven't quite got one yet. Should I do another? I think I've got one more. I could do another thing about a famous person.
Yeah, that's sort of
funny-ish.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, fine. We're going to interview Sylvester Stallone. And we'd set up in a members club, I think we're filming it in, and we were on the first floor in the sort of snooker room or whatever. And about 20 minutes before Sylvester Stallone was supposed to arrive, his people called up and said, so where is the interview taking place? And we're like, so it's in this, in the address you're coming to. And they were like, great, but where exactly? We said, oh, first floor in the snooker room. And they said, okay, so how's Sylvester getting up there? And we were like, the stairs? Or there's a lift, and they're like, lift, yeah, he'll take the lift. And we're like, okay, that's fine. And then they said, also Sylvester won't wait for lifts, so we had to send a runner down, and the runner stood by the lift just calling it for 15 minutes until eventually Sylvester Stallone and his people arrive and breeze straight into the lift, up they go. And it was very, very odd, but it immediately made me think, and then you sort of chat to Sylvester Stallone and you think, he seems quite, he's like a nice man. I'm not sure that he, and then I realised, I don't think he knows that that happens. I think he genuinely thinks he's incredibly lucky with lifts. I do. I think it's like probably like really early in his career. He's been standing with a flunky, waiting for a lift, and he's just sort of hasn't got anything to say. He's just like, well, it's boring waiting for lifts, and they've gone right, never happening again. And that's just his life. Like never ever waits for lifts.
That's weird. You'd be tempted to put it in the test, though. I would just make him wait, see what happens if the lift isn't there. Does he just try and walk through the closed doors?
I think it wouldn't compute. Would it?
Just that would be it. Just.
Yeah,
like the robot would just frazzle away and die because he couldn't. He's never had to wait for one.
Yeah, the problem would have been that then we hadn't got the interview. I mean, if we got that on camera, fine. That's a story.
But then you could, you know, say I killed Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah,
that'd be something, wouldn't it? That'd be a brand.
Suddenly, my brand is developing. Yeah. Also, I'd squeeze a book out of that, wouldn't I?
So what's coming up next? Is it more impossible?
More impossible.
Very good. I'm not angling to get on the celebrity version.
Do you want to come on, actually?
I love quizzes.
Would you?
Well, it depends how much you pay. There's a lot of people on it. I can't imagine you pay that much.
I think it's... So you'd be filming for 2 days up in Glasgow.
Oh, Glasgow.
It's quite fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you get paid some amount. I imagine it's masses. Mm. What do you think?
I'll do it.
Genuinely, that'd be great.
I have to talk to my wife.
And then you can, you've got to talk to your wife anyway at some point. That's how marriage works.
Yes. You underestimate my skills.
Also, you could redeem yourself after House of Games. I don't know.
I don't know
what happens. I don't know what happens, but I'm guessing.
I'm up against Rachel Riley. Come on.
True.
I mean, if I beat her, then I'm like a super genius.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So, well, more of that And then I wrote a book with Dr. Michael Brooks of Science-ish, and we're writing a follow-up to that currently.
Brilliant.
Which we will be shoving in the old silo, I imagine. So
if you want to give away some copies of my old book with it,
happy to. Very happy to. Yeah. A quite eccentric bundle deal. I don't know how they've paired these, but they have.
And happy to give them as many of those as you want.
Yeah.
Actually, more of Lord of the Dance Setting. You can have a load of those.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun, but we better let you go.
Oh, can I tell you one more thing?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Just because it's not really a plug per se, but it's just because I find it quite funny.
I did a
show for the History Channel where I dive around rivers of the UK looking for historical artifacts, which is sort of odd in itself, but the really great thing is that I have absolutely no expertise. So there's a lot of times I'm just pulling stuff up and I just don't know what it is.
I was asked to do it, and I said yes, I am interested, and I never heard again. So you got the job.
I can't imagine that I was first on the list.
Did you have to actually dive under, or could you just walk? Because I said I wasn't really keen on diving, but I'd be happy to sit in.
Oh, just to wait.
I'll give it a go.
That might not have stood in your favour.
Okay. A lot of diving underneath the waves.
Are you a history buff?
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have been way better than me at this.
Yeah.
But really, I'm sorry. Well, series two, maybe.
Was it in August? Did you film it in August?
August, September.
Yeah,
August and September.
I was available.
Yeah.
It was with an American guy who does.
Yeah. I wish I hadn't bought it up.
No, it goes. I'd forgotten about it. Well, and then you just reminded me.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to be back. This is it. I'm going to be back on non-quiz TV.
I absolutely, but you want to be on quiz TV, right? I would have preferred to watch the show with you doing it.
No.
But not to be. It was me.
Did you find anything good?
I did find I didn't know what it was, but subsequently found out a Viking. Oh, am I like?
They'll
hate me saying this, actually.
Yeah. We'll bleep it out. We'll just bleep it out. You tell us here and we'll.
Yeah. Talk. I found a Viking.
Dildo.
Tiny. So absolutely tiny.
No, I'd love that. My dream.
Absolutely given.
That's amazing. What was it?
Got me. I don't know. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, very exciting. We'll cut that out.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rick Edwards, who's never found any Viking stuff at all. It's Rick Edwards. Rick Edwards. I've been listening to Rich Herring's Death Square Theatre podcast with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Rick Edwards. The music is, as always, by Pest. Thank you to everyone at the British Comedy Guide, especially Orange Mark. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. And thank you to Chris Evans and his amazing crew at GoFasterStripe.com. Not that one. It's Chris Evans from GoFasterStripe, or Cento, as the cool kids are calling him. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker, but I'm more indebted to my executive producer, Kevin Dixon. That is his name. Kevin Dixon. Oh, you might say it like Dixon, but I say Kevin Dixon. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Check us out, baby.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs for all of the information on the tour. GoFasterStripe.com for lots of downloads and books and lots of fun. Thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends about the tour. I love you all. I'm out.